All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to, what are we on now? Wednesday of Tech Ed, that middle of the week timeframe when you've had death by PowerPoint all week, hopefully late nights enjoying some partnerships with friends and discussions, and you're really tired and excited in a food coma to come talk with me today. So welcome. Feel free to be happy, that's okay. All right, or not, whichever works best for you. So welcome to AAP 201. I'm Heath Aubin. I'm a solution architect within services, and my primary focus is actually within the identity space. But today I'm going to come talk to you a little bit about this concept of hybrid computing. And we actually believe it is the new net norm. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and let's dive right in. So we're going to cover a bit of a storyboard today. And we'll dive into each of these individually and talk more about it. But within services, what we've done is we've kind of come together and said, hey, you know, we know there's this interesting new space, right? This new space called hybrid. By the way, who in this room has worked on a project where your net end state goal was to have a hybrid environment? Anybody? Yeah, I didn't think I'd see any hands come up. So I'll talk about that in just a moment, but let me first start a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. So as I said, I'm with services, and we have what we call the offices of the CTO. And really what this encompasses is this encompasses really all of our services worldwide. And the office of the CTO is really there to not only see what's going on with our customers, assist you, but also really to look at what's going on within your space and to set some strategy to help you move forward. And part of that strategy entails talking to the various teams within Microsoft, much like you guys. We have all sorts of different business groups internally, and we need to navigate those waters like you do your business. And so part of what this team does is help us navigate those waters to make sure that information that is necessary and important is getting back to the right places. So really, for us in services, this is a great location to really start to drive feedback. Now, what's feedback? Feedback's really what we're hearing from you. We're your conduit back to some of these different teams that I talk about, whether that be a product team or one of the business teams or whatever the case might be. We're another avenue for you to be a conduit back into that group. And so what we did when we set out with this hybrid idea to look at the space was we took a group of experts from around the world. Now, these experts consisted of not only solution architects like myself, but various architects from around the world focusing in a wide variety of different scenarios. And we also took subject matter experts, maybe folks that you've worked with, or people who are doing these deliveries day in and day out and experiencing the situation, seeing the things that are working well, seeing the things that are not working well. Now, we don't like to just focus on what's not working well, but I think it's fair enough to say that that's really what gets a lot of attention, right? It gets a lot of light. So we take this seriously, and so I'm kind of giving you kind of the behind the scenes, the backstage look at what we do inside of Microsoft and some of the strategies that are beginning to form from the things that we've heard from you guys and from some of your peers from around the world. So that's what we're here for. So let's talk a little bit about what that process was, because I think it's kind of interesting to see what we went through to develop this. You know, certainly we just didn't get together in a room and go, hey, this is this thing called hybrid. I think there's an issue here and maybe there, and let's go. No. What we did is we have a framework for this. We actually call this team of experts and people from around the world. We put them into what we call a capability leadership team. And what would Microsoft be if we didn't throw one more acronym at you, and so we just called that a CLT. But for today's purposes, I think you guys get that we brought these folks together on your behalf. So what we did is we took a huge call out to our SMEs, our subject matter experts around the world. And we said, hey, when your customers are going to the cloud, what's going on? What's happening? What's either preventing you from getting there? What's causing you ruckus when you get there? Or problems? Use some of the old school language grandma used to say, right? What's going on? And so we took over 100 plus different submissions on things that are going on when it comes to cloud experiences, and we brought those in for analysis. And so once we got all this feedback, and let me tell you, some of these were pages and pages long of feedback that we're seeing from different customers' deliveries. Once we got this feedback, we really took and analyzed these and said, all right, these are kind of the same, and so let's take the top 100, those are probably more like 110 or 12 best issues that we need to look at and focus on for really providing solid feedback back to our business. And so as we went through and analyzed these, we needed to come back and kind of look at some patterns. What are we seeing? And really, we wanted to kind of isolate what were the questions that were being brought forth there, what's going on, and then what are the cross-cutting concerns? What's really happening with these issues? And out of that, you can't probably see, it's a bit of a small chart, but we came up with a matrix of how to determine how big of an issue that it really is. And the issue really talked about, you know, what's the impact of that? What's the probability of it occurring? You know, similar to what you would call a risk assessment, or really it's kind of a gap analysis slash risk assessment. And so as we built this matrix up and used some numbering systems for it, we were able to come up with, probably no surprise to you guys, but some of the things that we saw are really the top cross-cutting concerns. Now, it's probably not a myth here, but the number one thing was migration. Right? How do I move something from this traditional IT environment off to some cloud service? What do I do with that? Right? It sounds simple and easy, right? We know that hybrid isn't a goal because nobody raised their hand in this room, right? It's an end state. It's a result is what it is. It's a result. It's a result of somebody's decision to move something to the cloud. Because, you know, somebody who's, you know, looking at dollar savings or reading reports or following the buzz said, I'm moving this to the cloud, and now everybody else has to scurry to figure out how to make this work, thus putting us in a hybrid state. So we found that migration was probably one of the number one issues out there, and I'll talk about these in a few minutes. But these other ones absolutely are key. When you think about operations, if I'm going to have things in multiple places, how am I going to handle that? It's a huge issue today for what do I need to do? Now, I know that we're doing some things in that space, but for the most part, this is an issue, right? I need to be able to look at things in my environment and what's going on in the cloud. So we bubbled some of those up. I would say infrastructure was another big piece. And then certainly one of my favorite areas would be identity. You know, identity is probably the last thing that people think about. But we'll dive into these just a little bit here. So kind of moving along, what we really found, and I should say this isn't based on any analyst data. You know, I don't have anything to quote that so-and-so said this is the new state. This is really our assessment. This is the services perspective of what we're seeing is that really, you know, with the cloud era and transition, you know, hybrid platforms, they're really not short-term. It's not something that we're going to have for the short-term, and then all of a sudden it's going to poof, go away. Everything's going to be cloud, right? There's going to be some elements of that for a much longer term period, and potentially for some, for quite a bit longer than that. I don't want to say forever, because I feel like forever is just that infinite loop, and I think we've all learned that over time, when somebody says never or forever, those are both untrue, right? Yeah. So I won't say that, but what I'll say is it will be for quite some time. So I talked about what is hybrid IT. You know, let's talk a little bit about that, right? So really the way we define it, it's actually quite simple. It's what you have today in the enterprise, your traditional IT environment, plus any rendition of clouds, whether that's private, multiple publics, multiple privates, traditional IT to one, the other. Really, it's pretty much once you move into some cloud environment. Could be hosted as well, some could argue. But really, hybrid is as soon as you extend beyond those traditional boundaries. So let's dive a little bit into each of these cross-cutting concerns and what we found. So as I said, with operations, really what's going on here, operations and infrastructure, we actually coupled them together because they really do go hand in hand. And what we're finding out now is that now's the time. Now's the time to take and really fix the sins of our past, right? You know, I know if you look at the infrastructure, and I've had a variety of different customers who have just multiple different Active Directory for us, or maybe different identity systems, they get things all over the place, different LAN and WAN strategies as to what's going on. Maybe one location does net, maybe another one doesn't. I mean, there's, you guys know, right? You live it every day. There's just a multitude of things that are going out there. But when we go and make a decision to move to the cloud, what this does is it exacerbates the issues that we already know are there, right? Now, what person wants to stand up in the room and work with the CIO to say, hey, we're moving this solution to the cloud, and say, by the way, that couple hundred million or whatever it was you invested in moving that to the cloud, yeah, I'm going to need double that just to get my infrastructure ready. They're going to look at you like you're crazy, right? And you say, that's not going to happen. But the point is that if the time isn't spent looking at what's in place today and fixing those sins of the past or coming up with a strategy on how to address those, once you start to move to the cloud, all of the different challenges are going to come into play, right? You're going to start to find that you'll end up spending more money, you'll have a lower user experience, and you're just not going to be satisfied, right? You guys are probably going, well, Heath, you know, that's not rocket science. My point is I want to call out what we're seeing to you and what we're working with our customers on, because this is really the truth. It's a challenge, and there's complexities behind it, I would say. But it's not necessarily a hard problem. The real answer is let's fix those sins. Okay, so now we know we need to fix the sins of the past. So what do we do about this? Well, certainly we got to do some assessment and remediation. We talk about overhauling the Windows infrastructure, right? So what does that really mean? Well, it could mean a few different things. And being the bit of the infrastructure guy that I am, I probably should have warned you guys. Don't ask me about how to write a specific piece of code because I probably won't know. But when it comes to infrastructure, it makes sense. If you look at the Active Directory, just take Active Directory, or even DNS for that matter. When you need to start to get to the cloud, and people can throw out a bunch of different terms on how you can make that happen, how are you going to get your users to access that cloud option if they're all over the place? Right? If you've got to manage these in multiple different locations with different policies, with different administration sets, different governing bodies, still needing to access some of the same things, it makes it very difficult. I will tell you, yeah, absolutely. You can make it happen. But what's that experience? At the end of the day, it's the user experience that's most important, right? Is what are they doing with the application? And obviously, if that application happens to be a business or revenue-generating type application, is it able to generate revenue? And I would argue that if users can't use it, well, good is it, right? But that being said, what we've seen is it does require an overhaul of the Windows infrastructure. So typically starting with Active Directory, DNS kind of comes into play. But the network boundaries certainly are another issue that comes up with some of our customers. You know, we do have a lot of folks doing NAT. You know, and that can be difficult. So in terms of when we analyze this and what are we talking about really proposing, how does Microsoft Services add value in this space? Well, we've got a few things in terms of some of our core services. We'll talk about identity in a minute, but we have this concept of dynamic identity. We're really looking to take this design for operations first, so we're putting together a series of solution offerings and some solution accelerators that are hopefully get published in the near future to really give some guidance. Now, really what this is some guidance, right? Now, you know that the products out there, you've probably been to some of the System Center 2012 sessions, and you'll see what it's going to do to extend its capabilities to the cloud. Those are important things to have. Whatever you're using in your environment, you need to do that. But Services is looking to put together some guidance for you guys based on our experience. Identity. We talked a little bit about identity, right? So identity today isn't just user logon and password, right? Identity is really much more than that. When we talk about identity, we talk about people. We talk about some of the apps and the identities behind those applications. We talk about devices. We have locations. I mean, identity spans so much more than it did 10 years ago, right? We need to have an identity for just about everything these days. Now, if you just kind of step back and think about, well, my regular users, I have those in my environment, those are identities. But now what about that extranet DMZ where I host some applications that I have to spend a ton of operational cost to manage user IDs and passwords for people who are completely outside of my organization? Got to manage those too. You got those out there as well. How about identities for people who are using your services? People who are accessing consumer type services and maybe they need some personalization or whatever. There's some information around that. But identity spans everything now, right? And this is, again, just like operations and infrastructures, this is a huge challenge place when you get to the cloud. When you start going to a cloud scenario, all of a sudden you need to figure out, how am I going to connect all these people to this application I moved in the cloud? Or even better yet, if we forget about the people aspect and think about the identities for that application, how do I get that application to communicate with data that might be on premises, or databases that are on premises? Right? It sounds pretty simple, right? I just connect it and it makes it work. But the infrastructure behind that to get that put together in an environment where we haven't fixed the sins of our past makes it very difficult. And this is, as I said earlier, one of the big areas that our customers said, hey, this is hard. You know, I don't care if you're going to an Office 365 solution or if you're moving to an Azure-based PaaS solution. These are hard things to figure out. And these are things you have to figure out after the decision has been made to move to the cloud. So that's that after effect, right? That's that, hey, I need to go back to the CEO and say I need X number of millions of dollars to overhaul my environment because you made a decision to move this really cool application to the cloud, right? So in services, as we really understood this and took a look deeper at this, we realized that from a feedback perspective, we got to give you guys some information on this. So what does information mean? Well, we're working on getting some reference architectures put together that, you know, as the traditional, or excuse me, the IT pro goes through and looks at, hey, I'm doing X particular cloud deployment, whatever that case might be, here's what we can use as a reference architecture. Now, I will warn you, those aren't published yet. We're in the process of writing them, but we're pushing very hard to get some of these things put together. Some of the other things that we're doing is, aside from talking to you folks today, and the session that I'll give tomorrow that'll be pure identity, is really to help get you guys through the assessment process and understand what is this situation that I'm in, how do I prepare myself for where I need to be, and what's that roadmap in between. So we've got some prescriptive guidance. I'd encourage you to come to my session tomorrow to see what's going on with that. I think it's AAP 302. It's in the end of the deck. We'll talk more about identity there. But it really surrounds the things that we're doing is around the dynamic identity framework. Now, give you guys a little taste of what that is. The dynamic identity framework is, as I said, from that assessment process, actually down through real-world deployment of a particular solution for your scenario. So I've done a number of these so far with customers where we've assessed their environment, given them that roadmap, and some of that has been, hey, you've got 21 Active Directory forests out here. Why? What's the reason for having that? And talk through it. And of course, I'll warn you, I'm not the guy that runs in the room and says you must migrate everything to a single Active Directory forest now, because I know it's one, very expensive, two, very time consuming, and three, doesn't necessarily solve the business problem. But that being said, we do that assessment and we help you walk through that. We have a number of other scenarios and solutions that we can bring to bear depending on the environment that you're in. All right. Migration. So migration, as I said, was one of the biggest areas that came and bubbled up in our assessment process. And when we think about this migration concept is, how do I get this application from being on my traditional IT environment or on premises or whatever you want to call it and move it to a cloud-based solution? When I say cloud-based solution, I'm not necessarily assuming you're going to public cloud. Could be private, could be a variety of different things, but the bottom line is it's typically very expensive to run this in the environment, right? I mean, if you think about the data centers that are out there, it's typically not rack space that's the issue. It's the extended cost of HVAC and all the electricity, everything that goes into managing and operating that data center. The more systems you add, the more dollars come out of the pocket, and it gets extremely expensive. And with today's buzz and cost models, we all know CIOs and folks are looking to make the transition to cloud because somebody's sitting there with a rubber mallet or hammer banging them on the head saying, go to cloud, go to cloud. Find something. I don't care what it is. Go to cloud. So being able to take something from one environment and move it to the other isn't quite as simple as it was. Now, I know there's a number of different solutions out there. There's a number of different principles out there as to how you do this. But the end of the day is it's really about taking that time. And I'll use the word assessment a lot today. And that's because we need to spend the time knowing what's in our environment. Let's just see a show of hands. Does anybody in this room have a 100% guaranteed list of all the applications running in your environment, and you know where to go to talk to somebody about it? We got one person. That's good. That's actually really good. So here's what the quote was is they, quote, have a list, right? And whatever they gave me, I completely voided it. So there was someone else who had a list. But the point is that these lists, whether they're out there, it's what's the trustness about those lists. Does it have the information you need? It's probably out of date the second you get it in your hands anyhow. And half the information that you need to really make decisions, it's missing, right? Straight. This is an application, and you can probably look at a great design document and see how it's put together and what it does. But where do these systems reside? When was it put in place? It was put in place 5 years ago. It's probably changed. And if you don't have those updates, what's really going on with it, right? So really, when it comes to migration, you just don't know. And it's the old probably statement of you just don't know what you need to know until you know what you don't know. I never got that one, but you kind of with me, right? It's, we don't know what's going on and how we're going to move until we've done this assessment. So our focus in migration was really that whole standard infrastructure for seamless migration. Seamless is kind of the key word. I guess in our opinion, much probably like yours, you should be able to very easily take an application, and I won't use the term drag and drop, but really uplift it from where it's at today and put it in a cloud state, and it should still function as it does today with minimal or none, no disruptions. No disruptions would be key, right? Getting that application moved over. And we'll talk a little bit about how you can do that. So when we looked at some of those other things, we talk about, you know, where do we start? You know, we've got customers out there who's got all these different line of business applications. Where's the right place to start? So we can give you guys the right guidance. Well, probably the right place to start isn't that, you know, multi-tiered application that has, you know, you've got your front end and you've got a variety of different back ends with data all over the place, whether it's in storage, databases, you name it. Really what we came back with was let's look at what makes sense. This is newer to some folks, especially if you've never moved an application to the cloud. What experiences have you been able to gain from that? How have you been able to mature yourself in the process and get those key learnings so you move forward? There's no issues. And this is typically where customers that we've worked with struggle, is they look, some CIO or somebody looks through the list, and I pick on CIOs a lot, so I apologize. I'll just say CX person, right? I love them just as much as everybody else, but somebody's got to make a call, right? They get paid for it. They make the decision. Somebody makes the decision to move to the cloud. It's going to save us a ton of money, but oh my goodness, they decided to go with the ERP system first. Okay. Right, how's that going to work out? Is it ever going to work out? Yeah, sure, I'm sure it will, right? But we know, we're experienced and seasoned professionals in this room. We know that when we pick something that complex and move first, it doesn't always work because users, maybe they don't get trained quickly enough, or something hasn't been thought of when we make that move, or we didn't look at latency, we don't have benchmarks. I mean, all this stuff that goes into really knowing what this thing does. Something gets overlooked if it's your first one. So I'll talk about the steps to migration in a moment, but I think the key piece is don't pick that one first, right? Pick something that's a little bit more simple, something that is kind of a single-tiered type application that you will still see some advantages, of course, for moving that to a particular cloud solution. And we'll talk about that seamless transition. But take that application and move that first and gain those experiences, learn, you know, do that assessment, build up your processes, and you'll be able to move ahead. And I guess I will tell you, I don't have any particular statistics around it, but I always like to feel that somewhere around 80% of the work is really not tremendously technical, right? It's about what's going on, how is it connecting, assessing information, validating business processes, getting this stuff put together, and then you get into that 20% of what is the data telling me and how do I make that move. And without that data, you can't make clean decisions. And heavens to be, you'd have to make that decision that, guess what, this one can't move for this reason, whatever that case is, right? I think the most important thing is really when we move into this, let's keep some of this stuff simple here. So I have a little storyboard. We're working on what we're calling an offering towards the three steps to the cloud. And so this is a bit of a storyboard behind how that's going to work. But before we get into step one, let's continue with step zero, because we all know that numbers start at zero, right? Not one. We're techie guys, techie gals. Step zero is really all about understanding that environment, as I just mentioned, right? I talked about keep it super simple. I love the KISS principle, but really take small steps. So we talked about keeping the 2- and 3-tier line of business applications out of the mix to start with. Start with that single-tier application. But really, you have to go out there and you have to get that list, right? I think one person had it in the room. Get that list of applications. Get the information behind those applications so you know what does it talk to? How does it transfer information between? And for goodness, how does it actually get users into the systems? How are they authorized? Where are they coming from? The list goes on and on. You need this comprehensive list. And you might be looking at me, shaking your head, going, Heath, man, there's no way I can get that list. Well, I guess what I would say is you're probably right, but if you can't get that information, you probably shouldn't be considering moving that application until you can, right? Okay. So once you have this list, what we recommend and what we would work with you to do is to really take those five applications, those five, yeah, we'll say up to five. Might be one, might be four. We'll just say up to five. We realize that once we get past that number five stance, we kind of get into that mix of there's too much here, there's a lot of folks that are still learning, and it's just a really good cutoff point. But get those applications, get them categorized, and think about simple apps. So we talked about the assessment process, but would a good application to move to a cloud scenario be one that has heavy GRC restrictions that's got, you know, I don't know, PCI, HIPAA, some governmental agency around what's going on? Are those the ones that we should move first? Absolutely not. Let's keep those for later. So when we talk about simple, we talk about things like that that doesn't have GRC. You know, think about things that aren't tied to that so-called heavy iron behind the scenes. You know, large data structures on premises where you're going to be going and trying to capture data, information, or blobs and bring them up and present them through the application for the user to do something with. You know, if it's a huge system, that's probably one you want to just table for now. But pick those simpler ones. You know, but guess what I'm saying is really what we're talking about is we're kind of talking about a standalone type line of business application. I realize there's not a tremendous amount of these out there. I also realize you're not going to get a ton of value. I would argue that you can probably still get significant hard data value with some of these applications. But one of the things you guys can't put that price tag on is experience and learning, right? Develop those processes so when you do the hefty lifting, it's not so bad. So now that you've got all this assessment figured out, we're ready to get into this three-step program or three-step process. Really, step one is about virtualizing these things into kind of a VM experience. So we take these applications, we start out with benchmarking them because it's important to really understand, hey, what's going on with this system? I need to establish a baseline. If I don't have a baseline, how do I know if it got better or worse other than phone calls to the help desk or service desk, angry people, somebody knocking on your door, calling you at 2 a.m, whatever the case may be. Benchmark the system. Make sure you understand not only how the user experience is going, but what's the data flow behind the scenes. Now, I guess I probably should have said it's important to do this prior to that as well, because it's nice to know what does it look like in the environment it is today, right? That's your baseline ultimately. Once you have that baseline, then you can put these into these virtualized VM experiences to see how it takes with moving it from, you know, the current system into this VM environment. So once you've done that initial move, then we can start to look at, okay, let's I've got this kind of in this virtualized VM environment, or potentially a private cloud, or whatever you want to call it in your environment. Now you can start to look at how do we move that into a cloud experience. Because one of my initial goals might be to say, hey, I need to save some of that power consumption or rack space or whatever the case might be in my data center. So now I need to get it out. That would be kind of a really cool benchmark for me to say, hey, Mr. Leader, I got it into the cloud to start. So step two is about moving these VMs up into Azure using the Azure Connect process and some of the things we can do with establishing those virtual private networks between your Azure instance and your on-premises instance. And certainly a self-contained application, the good news about this is it really won't need to access data back into your traditional IT environment, but you're still going to need to operate it. People are still going to need to access it. So you'll have that, by virtue of using Azure Connect, you'll have that connection point to do that operations tier. Now you might ask, you know, why are we doing this? Why not just rewrite the application and put it into a PaaS solution? And why shouldn't I just do that? Well, I would certainly argue that it's very expensive to go through and retool and redesign an application. And we'll talk about when the right place is to do that. But what we're talking about is intermediary steps to get to a cloud, so you can achieve value along the process, right? So step two helps you really get to that initial point of value. Step one gave you all the great data to tell you if step two is working or not, or beyond step two. But step two is really where you start to say, okay, I've now moved something out of my data center into a cloud experience. But we're smart in the room. We know there's more to it than that, right? So when we move kind of post step two, now that we've got that done, what's the next thing we have to do? We've got it in, running in a VM up on Azure. We've got it functioning. We've got our virtual private network operations working. What do we do next? We got a benchmark again, right? So is it performing, is it functioning better than it was before? Or certainly, hopefully not worse, right? If it's the same and it's moved, there's some value. If it's better and it's moved, that's even better. But I would say let's go with even it's just the same. Let's get that benchmark for validation, because in step three, that's where we're going to start to decouple it off that VM into the different PaaS solutions that are available within Azure for the application, whether it be moving the database into Azure SQL or putting that application in your own Azure experience. Basically, you're moving it off of VM and you're putting it into full Azure. We haven't talked about retooling the application yet. We just talked about moving it over to a PaaS solution. So once you've done, again, step three, here, what do we do again? We baseline, we look at it. Are things still performant? Now you can really get to probably where you wanted to go originally. You know, at least in our minds, we would love to, when we're going to do these moves, we know these applications out there, they have their behaviors, we know where it can get better, we want to redo them. But it's expensive. So we've achieved value by going out to a cloud solution. We've learned from it. We've moved into a little bit more rich PaaS experience. Now it's time to take a look at that application and go through what we call application lifecycle management, where we really assess the ability to truly, I don't know if it's a term, but we'll call it maybe cloud ties. I don't know. You guys with me today? I'm a little goofy, I guess, in the afternoon. Didn't eat lunch like you guys, but cloud ties it, we'll call that. Now we can actually go through and rewrite this application to do what it really needs to do in the cloud, to really make it efficient and performant for the things that we want it to do, add the extended capabilities, and better yet, now that we've got some of these apps moved over and gained these experience, now we can start to go through the next series of tougher applications. Now, this is a model that we do today. We've actually done quite a bit with our customers, and what we found is that a lot of us are doing it the same way around the world. And so we've come together to really create this into this three steps to the cloud we're going to be moving into what we call an offering, which is something that MCS can come work with you on. But this is really what's going to make it effective for you. This is where you're going to gain some of those successes. Now, is this the only way? Obviously, there's more ways to skin the cat. But what I can tell you is that this execution process is successful. It goes through, people are able to move forward, it works. It's tried, it's proven, and it works very well. We know that it's not the ultimate way, but it does work well. And I think if, no matter which analysts you guys read out there, and probably a billion of them, I read them too, and you find a variety of different surveys or information that comes out about, you know, all these projects failing, or so-and-so moved X to the cloud and perceived all these savings and didn't work, and it went down and it cost more than it was going to cost to move, right? You guys have seen these articles probably too. This is a process that helps you mitigate those issues. I'm going to step back just for a second. You know, with this same process, let's take the migration scenario off the table for a second. Let's talk about identity. We could use identity in here too, right? This same process of assess, benchmark, move to minimally move, move again, these things also work for those other scenarios. So if you think about, what do I need to do for not just applications, my infrastructure, my operations, my identity, my you name it, this is a process that's going to work, and it's tried and proven. So I would say you could take any of those and apply it to the same process, and it's going to be successful for you. Now, this probably comes as no surprise to you. You know, I guess if anybody's looking for surprises in the room, hopefully this is not the one. But when we did our assessment and talked about what's the number one cloud showstopper for me to move something to the cloud, it was GRC. Okay? How many in the room have some form of GRC regulation compliance type item that you guys are held to? Everybody, right? Just about. How many have more than one? Exactly. Right? Most have quite a few more than that. Right? Especially if we get into commerce and PCI, happens to be a health facility and you have to do HIPAA while you're at it, and oh by gosh, it's a government-owned health agency that's doing some kind of consumer services, a little bizarre, but you know, the list goes on and on. And what we're finding is that everybody's gung-ho about going to the cloud, but as soon as that decision's been made and we're doing our research, we go, oh, that one isn't such and such certified. Can't do it. Can't do it. Or better yet, this application has sensitive data, and we're just not comfortable with moving it up there because it's just not in our control anymore. And we know you're certified, but just can't take that risk, right? GRC is the number one concern. Now, you've heard a lot of things this week, I'm sure, and you'll get a chance to hear more in terms of what types of certifications do we have with our various cloud services. I'm not going to sit here and label this, that, and the other, and you know, pat back or anything like that. But what I will say is we are making great strides in this space. But what I will tell you is what we found from the field is that we have got a long way to go with this part. Same thing with our competitors, right? We're not alone. The pool is awful comfy today because we got all our friends in there. But at the end of the day, we really feel like, and our proposition back to our leadership team was to say, hey, you know, let's look at the number one GRC items that are out there, whether it's a commercial type GRC solution or whether it's a country-based solution. Because, you know, a lot of countries have specific regulations, and the U.S. has standards, but not quite regulations. But let's take the most important ones out there, and let's do an analysis of that. And out of that analysis, let's come up with the top, I don't know what the number is, we'll just say 20, 25, and say, now let's take a look at our cloud platforms and our cloud services and see what we need to do to hit this, or better yet, if we're already there, what guidance can we give to you guys to help you not only answer the question of this is how this particular situation would work, and here's where my assurance levels are going to be about this movement, but get you guys the data that you need so that you can bring those and integrate those into your environments, your discussions, and ultimately get a comfort level. You know, so a little bit of this, as I said, is behind the scenes. It's kind of backstage pass. But I think this is probably the most important one. The other ones, while we know we have a long way to go together, you guys have a long way to go too, We're going to get you that information. We're going to get you that guidance. We're going to have folks there that can help you. But some of these ones we all know. Without them, it's never going to go. Right? So, as I said, we're going to be making some recommendations. And what we really kind of call, what we're calling it as a team, is this company-wide kind of rethink in terms of what do we need to focus on for GRC. And I definitely welcome you guys to do the same thing. I guess the last thing I would say about GRC is know your regulation or whatever the items is. Know it. I can't tell you, there's been a number of times where I'd sit work with some of my customers and I'd say, okay, for this particular scenario, we know that we need PCI and HIPAA. What are your requirements? And they'll slap a book down, probably about yay thick, and I'll read through it, and it'll say things like, you must have secure transmissions between endpoints or whatever, and you're going, that's fabulous. I know this. How are you going to achieve that? Well, we're going to secure the endpoints. So really, it ultimately comes down to is know your regulation or your item and have your requirements. Make sure you know what you need to do to keep yourself compliant, right? Don't just memorize the book. Actually have that. And if there are other folks in your organizations that maintains controls over these, work with those people to understand what those things are. And this really applies to far more than just cloud, but I will tell you that this is probably a good part of the challenge, is making sure you know what that needs hit, so that when you do decide to get through that cloud movement and you've looked at that three-step movement to the cloud that I just talked about, you know what that solution needs to do. Now, you can hold our neck to the fire for it for certain things, but you know, if you're running a private cloud, that's something you guys have to address too, right? Right? You guys have to know that it's going to meet the needs of those customers. So make sure you have those and have them clear and concise. I can't beat that one up enough. All right. So we've gone pretty quickly through some of this, and we kind of bring ourselves back to the storyboard. And so we think about what we've talked about today. You know, we've talked about services coming together with some of the greatest information from our customers, right? This isn't stuff we made up. We took that information, we categorized it, we saw what our cross-cutting concerns were. Certainly there were other areas of importance there as well, but what are those key things that we as Microsoft need to really focus on, not only for our customers, but for ourselves, so that we can enable and empower you guys? We talked about some of the, what have we figured out in terms of deficiencies? And I've kind of mentioned a little bit about what services is putting together to either fill the gap or some of the feedback that we're putting together, right? As you go through and look at these cross-cutting areas, these key areas that I talked about, and you start to get that infrastructure and operations cloud ready, or business ready cloud, you've figured out your identity play, you've looked at these applications and you've got a clear assessment of what's in the environment, what it touches, where those fingers are, what it needs to do, and what the benchmarks are for its operation, and you've prepared yourself for movement, and you've begun that move. You understand your GRC standards and you're moving ahead. That's kind of where we get into this seamless enterprise. Now, this picture's kind of funny because it's like taking down the Berlin Wall, but I really think that that's kind of synonymous with some of the things we're doing in the cloud space, right? You know, computing and the evolution of computing is a continual roller coaster, right? We do some of the same things we did before, but they're much cooler, right? Some of the things are different, but they're a little bit less, maybe less expensive, but they're more vast, or maybe more expensive, but hard to maintain. The end of the day is these areas are key. Once you get these areas, it does feel like breaking down that Berlin Wall, and you're able to move forward, and you're able to get a successful cloud implementation. So I got a lot of time for questions. I'm happy to open the floor, but hopefully you guys kind of had an opportunity to hear a little bit about what we're doing in services and how we're working not only to get your information back, but give you some things that you can use to move forward. So we have a small group. Let's make this interactive and ask some questions. Anybody? You were there helping bring down the wall. Excellent. Well, we have a gentleman in the room who, with the great picture we have on the wall, was able to participate in that. Yeah. I can only imagine. I certainly wasn't there, and I'm probably much like you guys remember where you were when this happened. But I think this is it's a bit of a huge. Reach, I would say, but do you feel that it is a fair analogy if you think about it? Now, it's not nearly the same when it comes to personalized experience, but these cloud situations are big. Sure. Yeah, I think. So the question is, you know, when you're moving mainframes, you know, it's really more of a comment, right? Is you can kind of pick your solution and move forward. So mainframe applications, those, again, this is in my humble opinion, those are probably something that's not going to be your first application to move, right? Oh, they are doing it right now. They're probably going through a rewrite, right? Rewrite of the application to a new platform. Okay. Sure. So you have a situation already where there's some app rework going on or app redesign, and everybody's getting ready to move forward. You know, and for you, that certainly might make sense. I think, you know, what we're kind of talking about it is, you know, mainframe, I think, is kind of one of those animals, right, where if you haven't already started that process and you're sitting there going, all right, we're going to go cloud, you're probably not going to go, that one right there.
No, I'm looking at the cloud technology first, seeing what will work.
So yeah. Is that an end of life or is it just time?
Yeah.
Expensive not only to have running and operate, but to manage and maintain and extend, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Question? Yeah. Sure. So the question's around that step two, right? And the question is our in this proposed process, are we moving it into the new Azure VM experience and leveraging Azure Connect to connect that networked environment to my on-premises network environment? And the answer to that is exactly what we're looking to do in this particular step. Now, we know there's some new functionality coming out, it seems like almost all the time, right, with Azure, and, you know, at risk of not disclosing anything, because I never know when things are coming out, but certainly we are looking to use some new services, but also what's existing today is it will help you do some of these pieces, right? Is you can move these over to an Azure VM experience, and with the ability to set up that virtual private network, then it's really still an instantiation of your LAN. So it makes it a little bit easier to own, operate, monitor, manage, things like that. And that's why we do it this way. It's kind of that evolution experience, right? As I said in step two, it haven't really changed a whole lot with that application because it's still really running on a VM or some instance like that. But it's not sitting in a rack in a data center requiring plugged in and things like that. So, you know, okay, I guess I'm kind of with you guys, right? If you've only got an app that has two physical servers today and you move that, how much savings have you had? Potentially minimal, but when you've done, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 similar to that and gained those experiences, now you can start to take the 10s, 20s, 50s, move them up, right? So yes, so the answer to the question is Absolutely, and that's what we're planning to do for this phase of the process, is to use Azure VMs, the VM role, and the VPN capabilities. Good question. You had one right here. So the question is, in our experience, in services experience, what line of business applications were the most beneficial, the most cost savings to be able to move from this traditional environment up? Because obviously you mentioned ERP and some of these other ones are quite extenuous, right? Ironically, this might strike you as interesting, but it's almost the service that we see move. You know, a lot of what you're seeing, we see customers do is, I'm going to go to the cloud, the very first thing they pick, messaging. So I know that's not a line of business application, that's something else. Messaging, SharePoint, link, standard kind of things. Those are the things that people move first. In terms of the other ones, I mean, we're seeing a lot of those bad habits of people moving big things like ERP. With CRM going online, that's taking some headway and people are looking to move. But the interesting thing when it comes to those solutions are the folks, and I wouldn't say everybody, right? So I'm kind of generalizing a little bit. But the majority of the folks going to those solutions are actually not really migrating. They're transitioning off of something else and moving to something new, figuring that with the move experience to a cloud, they're not only going to have a change of user experience, an uptick in some of those operational costs, because it's moving, they might as well change it to a new modernized particular platform. But when it comes to the applications, I'd be fair and honest, for me personally, I don't do those, so I don't have a good answer for you, but if you want, give me your name afterwards and I'll get you that answer for sure, if you don't mind. Cool. Any other questions, folks? Feel free. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of commentary in there, right, in terms of Server 2008's coming out, you know, newer features within the web services and IIS, and why when I got a year and a half potentially to get to that, and some may be longer, too. I don't know what your cycle is, but... Oh. Are you talking about a particular cloud platform?
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking about like C++ AMP that are going to have hooks into massive parallel processes
sure.
into the cloud.
Yeah.
And all of that is changing the process. I'm trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to figure out with this process, right? And I guess I kind of go back to, I know I didn't give you an exact technology and how do I write this code and what do I do with this and where do I click, but it really comes down to know your application, right? And from our experience, as I said, if we can look at some of those less invasive apps that are, you know, we were talking about what those might be, we want to get a list of them, but if we can take those first, that's where the experience is gained. But if you can, I mean, you guys know your environment, and sometimes what you're moving isn't your decision. It's not your direct manager's decision. You might be a voice in the decision if you're lucky, and hopefully are. But at the end of the day, you need to get that information so you know what's going on. And if you at least go through the, yeah, Heath's crazy, I got to take this huge line of business app, it's multi-tier, this is what we're rolling with, and you assess it and baseline it, you'll be ready. Yep. It's amazing. These silly little things, right? It's like, man, if we're not developing for these things and it's not ready and it's no good, and how do we do that and where do we put that? And absolutely. Good conversation. Any other questions, folks, or anything for me? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, when we develop applications for external applications for clients,
To mitigate how to secure cloud applications. Yeah, so there's a million-dollar question, right? So the question really is how do I mitigate the security concerns with a cloud application? So I guess I would almost ask is how do you mitigate those concerns with that application today externally? You're probably providing access to it some way, right? So those things don't necessarily change. What does change is how do you get the data that you need to know to make sure it hasn't been compromised, and then how do you secure it? So that kind of comes back to some of the reference architectures and things that we're talking about that we want to give you guidance on how do you do that. Those aren't created today. But then how do you monitor what you're doing? And I would say up until really this wave of System Center, it got really hard to kind of go out and monitor and see what's going on there today. So now with System Center 2012, and you can kind of span out there and get that information. The answer is when it comes to the application itself, right, not only are you securing access to it, who can do what, when, where, why, right, but you need to secure the same thing you do today, right, secure the data at rest and the data in transit. And by putting it into a cloud scenario, you don't necessarily change the dynamics of that. You do change where the information might be coming from, right? So if you have something on premises, how are you getting that rendered up through the application that's in the cloud, and how's that transfer being secure? Now, with the ability that we talked about through this three-step process, you're going to get some of that inherently. But I know it doesn't answer your question. I'm still kind of with you is that I do think that it doesn't change a tremendous amount. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Sure. Yes. No, you're absolutely correct. It absolutely will. So the point you're making really is that while you're moving this to a cloud scenario, you have to still test and validate and make sure that it maintains secure. So you'd almost toss in penetration testing and some of those threat modeling against it. Has anybody heard about the Secure Development Lifecycle, or SDL? You've heard about it. No, you've probably heard about it. So, I mean, this is a process that we had coming out of our trustworthy computing, and that's something that we do and provide as services. And whether it's cloud, on-premises, whatever the case is, it's a framework that we go through to look at the application. So that's something you would do anyway. But I think you made the point that this is an added cost that needs to be taken into context when you're moving an application to the cloud. I 100% agree with that. I guess my point is that, okay, so you can hit me over the head with the bat, but these things should be happening today, right? When every time you go through application development processes, make changes, add features, add new app, whatever the case is, these things should be happening. I know they're not always consistent, or maybe not even happening, some better than others. But these are things that should happen, and my point is by moving to a cloud scenario, it does not negate the need to do this. That's absolutely a part of it. But I think the point is what can we do to help you do that? And certainly we do have some things. You can probably ping me offline, or we can talk about a little later, too, or go out to the website, the MCS website. I think it's microsoft.com/services. There are some things that we have out there to help you with this process. And SDL happens to be one of those components. But, being cloud ready and doing the assessment, the three phases, those things that were in process, it's all going to help you. But bar none is absolutely a cost that needs to be thought about, right? It's not just how much is the service going to cost me. It's how much infrastructure do I need to add to make communications work between environments? How do I extend upon this identity platform so people can actually access it? Or maybe they don't. Maybe it's just an anonymous access or whatever the case is, right? you know, now how do I operate and monitor this? It's something new. It's training. It's user education. These are all these costs that build up to all of a sudden you're going back to the CIO and going, hey, that $20 million you want to spend, I need $400 million to do it. And who pays for that, by the way? The first person to go to the cloud is the one who gets stunk into paying for it, right? That's the problem. But you're right. You're right. I guess my answer is absolutely that doesn't change. You know, that's a really good question. The question is if you have something that you want to test, ultimately, in general terms, is there a test bed? Yeah, all the answers I have are not something that you can just go point, click, and do. You know, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I know what we would use is certainly we have a plethora of things that we can bring to bear for you. Yeah, I know with Azure you can set up for some development-related accounts and test things out on your own, but I don't know the particulars behind the cost of that. Sure. Well, from a private cloud standpoint, I mean, we have a number of different things that we do with data center services or DCS and some of that, but specifically what you're asking for, I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to take that offline. Yeah, sure. Well, I know we have some folks leaving. I'm happy to stay and answer more questions. You know, I do want to bring up some of this related content. You know, there's a session going on immediately following this with modernizing application design, talking about cloud patterns. I know the gentleman delivering that is very versed. I certainly would recommend attending that if you don't already have other plans. But all these other sessions on here are things that I think are really good. Obviously, the top one is the best, the four pillars of identity. That's my session. Please come. Talk to me about that tomorrow. For those of you that I need to get some answers to, if I can just grab your email afterwards, I'll make sure I get those checked. Obviously, you know your resources that are available out there. You've seen this on every slide. And please, please, please don't forget to complete your evaluation. Hopefully the information I've had has been helpful. While not completely technically deep, I know that it's important to kind of talk about what we're doing and give you guys a plan for where we're taking it within services and how we look to help you. So with that being said, I'll definitely take more questions afterwards, but thank you everyone for attending.